The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So thinking about daily life practice, in the last class last week, we talked a little bit about mindful speech, wise and mindful speech. And I'll just say a few words about this at the beginning, kind of a little bit of a recap. But in my own practice, in my own experience, I found the practice with mindful speech to be one of the most difficult to, in the midst of life. I mean, I got pretty good at being aware while doing things, but as soon as I started talking to people, it was pretty challenging. It's a very, very challenging place to bring mindfulness, because not only is there the content of being engaged in activity, but there's the content of our thoughts in conversation. And we often, because of habits of mind, we tend to get lost in that content. So it's very difficult. It seems to be challenging for us to learn how to be present and aware while content is being engaged with. And so it is possible. That's one thing I will say. It is possible to be mindful while speaking. It's possible to be mindful while engaged in our daily activities. It's possible to be mindful while engaged in any kind of content, whether that's reading or listening to a radio or looking on the computer. It's possible to be aware of how we are while that's happening. It's possible to be know the content and know how we are while that content is happening. And this is a somewhat different style of practice in a way sometimes than our maybe our familiar style of meditation practice, because often in meditation practice we are letting go of content. You know, a thought comes up and we set it aside and come back to the breath, or we come back to body sensations. And so we're not engaging so much with content in our formal meditation practice. The content we're engaging with is really simple. What does the breath feel like? And it's not so verbal. It's more of a felt sense of what we're engaging with. So the formal practice of meditation, often we are not practicing being engaged with content. Over time, as we become more familiar with getting stable, I'm going to see if I can still hear me? Is that good? We'll see if that's better. And so we might often have a sense that it's not so possible to be mindful while we are engaged with content. And yet, even in the formal practice of meditation, as the practice gets stronger, we begin to see that we can be aware while we're thinking. We can be aware while thoughts are happening and kind of know thoughts and know how we are with those thoughts at the same time. But that can be even more challenging than being mindful while speaking. And so in some ways, the being mindful while speaking is a way in to learning how to be mindful while thinking. This is possible. And sometimes we might think, if I'm thinking, it means I can't be mindful. But it is possible to be mindful while thinking. It's possible to be mindful while speaking. It's just something that we don't have a lot of practice with. It's something that we don't cultivate so much. We sit in meditation, and then often, I mean, when I first started meditating, I did much of the time just let go of the thoughts. And then, you know, I would ask my teachers about daily life practice, and they'd say, well, just try to be mindful in your daily life. I didn't really felt like I got much in the way of guidance for how to do that. And it was very challenging. And I didn't quite know how to practice with it. That's actually a lot about what next week is about, is finding ways to practice with being in daily life and practicing mindfulness in daily life. But with speech in particular, it is such a challenging area, not only because we are speaking, but we are dealing with somebody else. We're dealing with somebody else's emotions, we're dealing with somebody else's content as well as our own. So it's a very dynamic situation and often quite challenging to be mindful there. So last week I talked about a few suggestions, you know, just more generally suggestions for practicing with it. But really one of the most important things that helps it is to practice it. And we don't often have that opportunity. And this may strike fear in your hearts, but that's the plan for tonight. We're going to practice this a little bit. So that's what I wanted to offer tonight, is an opportunity to practice speaking together. And we'll do this in some structured ways, and in some ways that I hope will start to give you the sense of the possibility of being mindful while speaking, of how that is possible. In my own practice, the easiest place that I found to be mindful while speaking was if I was talking about being mindful while I was speaking. You know, so if that's the content that you're talking about, it's pretty easy to be mindful. And so I learned from some of my teachers this technique called mindfulness out loud. And that's where we'll start, actually. It's a technique that basically you're speaking what you're noticing in conversation with somebody. And so I'll model this in a moment, but I'll describe it first. I'll describe how this exercise works. So you'll get into, and we'll try pairs, and if there's an uneven number, I'll pair with somebody so that it'll be an even number. And in the pair, you begin by just beginning a sentence. You just say, "Now I'm aware of." And then at that point in the sentence, you say what you're aware of. What's happening in that moment? So you just keep that going. I'll model it right now. So now I'm aware of seeing. Now I'm aware of contact. Now I'm aware of smiling. Now I'm aware of calm. Now I'm aware of seeing. Now I'm aware of breathing. Now I'm aware of hearing. Now I'm aware of breathing. Now I'm aware of happiness. Now I'm aware of searching. Now I'm aware of hearing. Just continuing in this way. And so this is, I'll say a few things about this in a moment, but this is just basically a way to speak what you are experiencing and stay connected to that experience. So this is the simplest form of being mindful while speaking. So your exploration, what I usually suggest is to launch into the sentence, "Now I'm aware of," and then at that point in the sentence, pause and check in what you are noticing. You may discover that you've noticed three or four things while you're saying, "Now I'm aware of." But let yourself take that moment to see what's happening in that very moment. So there's the whole field of our senses. There's going to be, you know, seeing, hearing, probably not smelling or tasting, maybe physical contact. You may be noticing contact of your clothes or your body against the floor. And then there's also things going on in the mind. I noticed a few of those in my example. I noticed some emotions, some mind states, calm and happiness. I noticed a searching, which is actually a pretty common thing to happen in this kind of practice, that at certain points when you stop in that moment, what you notice is that your mind is looking for something to say. And so in that moment, when I noticed my mind was looking, I said, okay, the mind is searching. That's what it's doing in this moment. and then go on to the next thing. Another thing that can come up is kind of a general sense of knowing that you're aware in that moment, and knowing that there's a lot of things going on, but not really clearly knowing what is the attention connecting to in that moment. That can happen. And so if that happens, you can just say, now I'm aware of knowing. I'm aware that I'm aware. And then just go on. So let me think if there's something more to say about this in terms of the exercise. Oh, yes, there is. So in groups of two, you'll be doing this, and you'll each do this for, well, let's say, 3 minutes. So it's relatively short. I know it might not sound short, but sometimes I do this with people for 10 minutes. I won't do that today. We'll do this relatively short. So for 3 minutes each. And when you're the listener, your job is to really be aware of how does it affect you to hear what somebody else is experiencing. What happens to you? Your job is to listen and to notice what it's like to be mindful while listening. This is really the flip side of mindful speaking, so it really gives us this time to practice that. How are you? What happens to you as you listen? It can be very interesting to see what goes on as you're taking in this really, really simple content. There's a lot that can go on, both emotionally and physically. And so just be curious about that part. And so we'll do this in pairs for 3 minutes each. Any questions about this at this point? Okay, so find yourself in pairs. And if there's an odd number, I'll pair with somebody. And then I'll ring the bell so that you know when to start. And so anybody not have a partner? Okay. Did you not want to participate? Okay, we can partner, yep. Did you want to practice? Okay, so do you want to practice with Maureen? Is everybody in? Oh, yep, there's an even number, okay. You want to come practice with me? You've done mindfulness out loud before, right? Okay, well, I'll start so you get the sense of it.
Are we just describing?
Yeah, now I'm aware of, yeah. Why don't you get a chair? Yeah. All right, let me. So don't start just yet, but introduce yourselves. Yep. I will tell people when to start. Mm-hmm. Let's see. All right. So let's start by coming into silence a little bit. We'll start with a little bit of a just settling in, so that we're present with ourselves first. So we'll do that for a few moments. And then the person closest to me, if that's discernible, will start. And so go ahead and begin. Checking in how you are, what's going on. Okay, and so turning towards the front, you don't have to move too far. You could shift back a little bit, but just check in. What did you notice? How was that? Were you able to be mindful while speaking? First of all, just a show of hands. Were you able to be mindful at least some of the time while speaking, while you were doing that? Some of the time. Yeah, it doesn't have to be all the time. Yep. Okay, so you know it's possible now. What did you notice? What did you notice? How was it for you? I'm curious both to hear about the speaking first, and then we'll talk about the listening, because sometimes the listening can be really interesting too. Yeah. And I'll just challenge you at this moment to see if you can be mindful while you describe.
I felt that there was a delay between while I was speaking versus the feeling. The feeling has already shifted by the time I was trying to speak.
Yes.
And then it felt that what I was speaking was inaccurate anymore. And at first, that created some anxiety. But then I sat with it. It's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yes.
And so that was very interesting, yeah.
Yeah. How many others have you noticed that kind of thing? Yeah, quite a few. And this does happen because speaking is pretty slow compared to what's going on. And so, yeah, that will happen. But I'm glad you just kept going. But to notice that. And I'm curious, did anybody notice while you were doing this, that there were several things you noticed that you didn't have a chance to say? Yeah. Yeah. So somebody want to mention something about that part? What did you notice there?
Yeah. So there is, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I was aware of like constant, continuous feeling of anxiety. You know, while I was aware of like everyone's talking, my own feelings, like both physical sensations as well as like, you know, the thoughts, like, you know, the mind searching for what to say next and all that. Oh, yeah. There's awful lot going on.
It's amazing how much we can actually be aware of.
Absolutely.
Right? Very simple exercise brings you into it can bring you into a very broad awareness, partly because of the way the exercise is structured. And I'll give you a pointer about this particular exercise. I mean, it's kind of a form of open awareness practice done out loud, because you're not choosing what you're paying attention to. You're settling back and kind of waiting. What's going to show up? And that form of practice can take you to a very broad awareness, know many things happening at the same time. And so this tool actually can be something that you might use. I mean, you could do it out loud for yourself, you know, while you're brushing your teeth because your mouth is full, but while you're, you know, preparing a meal or washing dishes or something, you know, you could explore using this technique out loud at first. And then maybe seeing what would happen if you let it be internal, just kind of noticing moment by moment, oh, this is the next thing that's obvious, this is the next thing that's obvious, this is the next thing that's obvious. It can be a very powerful tool that can open you into a practice for daily life. Because in daily life, I mean, you could see there was so much that you could be aware of at the same time. As you mentioned, you know, the underlying feeling, hearing the sounds, noticing what you were, the body sensations, all kind of at the same time, that was possible because you were oriented towards just a simple being aware in the moment. So that's a beautiful description of what's possible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I could, I mean, only 10% I could label, or I was able to label.
If that.
I mean, actually, yes. I would say maybe 1/100th. You know, but I could feel awful lot of more things I was aware of.
Yeah, and that's part of the that's part of how this works, actually, to show. I mean, we cannot say everything that
exactly.
We'd be aware of, right?
The best thing is, till like 5 minutes back, I was not aware that I was aware of so many things.
Exactly. This is a great thing to see, and how little it takes to be aware of so much. So, yeah, thank you. Anybody else want to comment? about the talking part. Anything else that was interesting? Yeah.
I found that I could have said, I'm aware of seeing every single time.
Yes, you could.
I mean, yeah. I was really aware of how much, you know, having my eyes open just, you know, really influenced me.
And this is another reason why it's so hard to be mindful in daily life, because we don't tend to practice with our eyes open.
Right.
So having the eyes open, it's like with those of us who are sighted, at least, you know, it's a very strong avenue through which we get lost. And so even just being aware over and over again, oh, I'm aware of seeing, that can be very powerful too. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, over here.
So I noticed that most of my awareness was all on physical things. It was like there was very few, even though I was a little bit nervous in searching it or whatever, but it was all the physical stuff. And it seems like the emotional stuff or the feelings are a lot harder to kind of find and to verbalize.
Yeah, this can be common for people in exploring this practice, partly because we're much more familiar with being aware of our sense experiences more than our mental experiences. Definitely for myself at the beginning of my meditation, what was going on in my mind was kind of like a mystery. And so it took quite a bit of practice to begin to get in touch with that. And so, you know, to start here, you know, to start just the exploration around the opening up to being mindful, you can occasionally, you know, in this kind of practice, you could give yourself an opportunity to just ask yourself or make the question, now the emotion is, or now I'm aware of now I'm aware of a mood of, there's always a mood of some kind. Or now I'm aware of a mood of, and then maybe it'd be like, I don't know. Maybe that would be what it is. But it could give you an opportunity to pause for a moment and take a chance to see, to orient, to check in. When I first started with this open awareness practice, in my sitting meditation, I was in Burma practicing with my teacher, Utejaniya, and he told me to just relax and notice what was obvious, which is very similar to what we were doing here, just like, what's obvious? What's obvious right now? What's obvious right now? And what I noticed was all physical sensations. And he said, well, that's good that you're noticing that, and you also need to consciously explore checking in to what the moods are, what the feelings are. And so just every now and then trying that, checking in. And one way into that is to, here's the question. I should have thought of this earlier. So you could ask yourself, what's my relationship to what's happening? Your relationship will be something. It might be a mood, or it might be an attitude. It could be a liking something or a not liking something. So, in a simple way, it might just be a flavor of liking, not liking, or confusion, or okay, things are okay. You know, I'm calm or I'm at ease about this. So, just in a simple way, and now. What's my attitude right now? That's a way into checking into what's happening in the mind, and it's slow sometimes to get to that. It was for me. So, yeah. How about the listening side? What did you notice in the listening? Anybody willing to share that part? Okay, and then, yeah.
I really wanted to engage John a little bit more in when he would say something. I found it interesting and wanted to ask questions. So I have been trying very hard lately to listen a lot more than I have been. So it was a good exercise for me to let him talk and not have me ask some questions.
Uh-huh. So you notice that kind of impulse.
Yes.
So that's really an important thing, because that impulse, you basically notice the impulse to speak before you spoke. Mm-hmm. And you caught it so that you didn't speak. That's an amazing thing, actually. Just want to point to that, because that moment, if you can know you're going to speak before you speak, there's an opportunity in that moment to know what you're going to say, to know how it might land, and potentially to decide to say, maybe I should just listen right now. So thank you. Yeah.
I think because I saw that there was a delay in myself, when I was listening to her, I was looking for more than just the words, and I was trying to observe the bodily movement and all those things, and those would give me a lot of information as well.
Uh-huh.
As what she was saying. And so that was also a very interesting, I think because I spoke first, I had that kind of reflection.
Yeah, and what kinds of things did you notice in yourself? I mean, you notice things about your partner, but what did you notice?
Not only the words were affecting my mood, for example, if she was saying things, but her movement was too.
I see. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you were noticing how, not only how the words were affecting you, but also how her body was, her body was affecting, the movement, what she was doing also.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting to notice that, how we are affected not only by content of words, but body language as well.
Yeah.
Anybody else notice anything about the listening? Yeah, over here.
Can I take this off?
You'll hear yourself if you don't, so you might just be able to turn it off.
When I was talking to someone that, you know, I don't know everybody here, so I felt a sense of, a little bit of sense of dis-ease when myself was talking, but when I was listening, I didn't feel that pressure. I just felt, all I have to do is listen.
Uh-huh.
And it was I just was aware of my partner's face and just their mood, and I felt there was nothing I needed to say. There was no.
So there was more ease for you while you were listening.
Much more ease while I'm listening. A little more discomfort when I'm talking to someone.
And would you say that you were still able to be aware while listening?
Oh, yes. I was aware of the person's mood and their emotions and just lots of things besides what they were speaking.
And were you aware of how that affected you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very.
This is an important part that we can begin to see in your report, your description of noticing the language, noticing the body, not only the body language, the language of the words, noticing how you were with that, and likewise with you, noticing how the other person was and how it affected you. This is a big part of being mindful in daily life, this kind of recognition, the possibility to be aware of content and how we are with that content. I mean, this is huge to recognize this possibility, to see that there's this. You might think, if I'm paying attention to something else, and often when we're talking to somebody or trying to be present for somebody, it's like all of our attention can go to them and we forget to be aware of ourselves. And so I'm hearing from some of you that you got that kind of possibility of being aware simultaneously of how somebody else is and how you are. That's an important recognition that's possible. My teacher, Utejaniya, encouraged me to practice. He calls it 50-50 mindfulness. 50% of the attention on the content. 50% of the attention on what's being said, what's being done, what you're doing, what you're reading, whatever the content is, and 50% of the attention on how you are. So that it sounds like some of you got a flavor of that. So other comments about this? Yeah, up here.
Thank you. On that point, I found it to be the quality of the awareness was different between speech and listening. My mind is very active when I'm listening because I'm thinking about what they said and associations, memories, judgments. And then feelings that come up from like noticing those things, like feeling like bad about something or happy that I noticed some connection.
And were you able to stay present and notice all of that and not get lost in your thoughts?
It kind of, yeah. So that's getting back to what you're saying. It's like keeping 50-50 seems like a struggle because like there's a cascade of things might unfold while the person is talking.
It's true.
And then also in my work, thinking about daily life, like I don't know that I could, like I have the bandwidth to notice so much about myself. I have to put some of it on like on pause because I need like at least 80% of my attention to even process what the person is talking about.
And that can happen. And when my teacher talked about 50-50, he did say sometimes it might be 80-20 or something, you know. It depends on the context. So for instance, when I was programming, when I was a computer programmer, it seemed more like 80-20 was a good, I mean, that was pretty present for what was happening inside because there's so much, you know, focus that had to happen on that content. It felt more like concentration. But I was surprised to recognize there was a possibility to at least have some awareness. And, you know, a simple kind of awareness can be really useful in those situations when you need a lot of focus on what's going on. It might just be as simple as, am I at ease or am I tense? You know, just really keep it simple. And if you notice that kind of, and it can be felt here often, you know, that a kind of an attention in this area, if it feels tight or relaxed. And for myself, that's like such a good feedback. If I'm relaxed, then I just stay with it, and I don't like need to feel like I need to take care of anything in a way. It just feels very very natural. If there's tension, sometimes I might feel like there's something going on that needs a little bit of attention. I might. Stop the person and say, wait, I didn't quite understand that or something just to kind of recognize. Or if I'm going to speak and I'm experiencing that tension, I might have a little more caution about what I'm going to say. You know, just like, okay, there's some kind of tension here. I don't exactly know what it is or where it's coming from, but there's something going on. And so I need to be a little more careful about what I'm going to say. So yeah, I mean, there are definitely times when there is more of that need for the focus on the content, but there always can be some that can be here. And the more we practice with it, the stronger that, even that little bit of attention can get. It really is about practice, you know, that the more we practice it, the more that muscle of awareness around what's happening while content is going on gets stronger. So it's really useful. It's really useful. That simple check around agitation or ease can be so helpful in terms of kind of almost a little warning, you know, oh, there's something going on here that might need some care. Other comments or thoughts about this?
I guess I have a technical question or detail question. It's not happening in parallel, right? The focus on on the person speaking or your speech and then the checking in, it's kind of like a very fast switching.
Well,
is that fair to say?
I would say, well, this actually may take a few minutes. I would say that it definitely, at first especially, can feel like that switching. And we can practice this. A good place to practice this with content is in reading and writing, because when you're reading, I mean, in talking, you are both sharing the contents of your mind and taking in the contents of somebody else's mind. And you're doing the same thing in reading and writing, but you can slow it down a little bit more. And so you can practice, you know, reading a few sentences and checking in and doing kind of an explicit alternation like that. So read a few sentences of the news. How did that land? Or read a few more sentences, how did that land? And so you can do an explicit alternation, especially at the beginning. As it gets more familiar, it can feel like it's happening simultaneously. Like somebody was describing feeling like all at once they knew hearing the people in the room and feeling the anxiety and knowing what was going on, that for stretches of time, this open awareness practice can feel very broad, like you know many, many things at the same time. With content, it's more challenging to take in content and how you are inside at the same time, but it can feel like it's very simultaneous. What is actually going on moment to moment? Some teachings in Buddhist psychology say it's rapid alternation, very rapid alternation. If even when it feels like it's simultaneous, it's just like really rapid alternation. But when they talk about rapid alternation there, they're talking about what they call mind moments. So in a mind moment, you can be attending to one thing. That each mind moment, there's only one thing that you can be attending to at a time. But those mind moments in Buddhist psychology are vanishingly small. They say there are something like 17 trillion of them in the blink of an eye. So that's a lot of information. And the experience of it feels like it's simultaneous, unless you're in a very, very focused, concentrated state in which you might be able to see a rapid alternation of experience. In daily life, mostly, it can feel like an alternate. It definitely can feel like an alternation because of the way our minds work. But as it gets stronger, it can feel more and more like it is just simultaneous. And in daily life, I wouldn't try to kind of overlay the idea that, oh, really, this is happening rapidly, because, you know, the experience of it is really what's most useful. You know, what is the experience of it? And the stronger the mindfulness gets in daily life, the more it feels like we can know in a moment, just tremendous amount of information that can be known in a moment and processed and taken and recognized. So I don't know, I've not experienced the 17 trillion mind moments. I've experienced sometimes when it seems like there's a really rapid alternation of experience, but what I did see initially in my meditation practice was that I had an idea that the mind could only pay attention to one thing at a time, and that actually got in my way, because the experience can be very broad, and my mind was naturally kind of narrow. It narrowed down on individual things. And I thought that was just the normal way the mind worked. But that was just one way the mind worked, and it was a habitual way. And so having the idea of, well, that's really just what the mind is doing, it can only do one thing at a time, got in the way of experiencing a different way that the mind does work. So I just offer that caution there. Yeah. Any other comments? Yeah. Mike.
Does this even work?
It does.
Oh, okay.
I think what was really profound in the experience that we just did right now is because at this center, it feels like a very safe place to do these kind of things. But the moment I step out of here and meet other people, there's always fear going on, or like fear of judgment or failure. And it quickly, like something that felt so easy here,
yeah,
becomes so much harder.
Yes, that's another condition. That's another condition that happens. And that's why it is useful in here to practice it a little bit, where it is a little bit more safe. It is a little bit easier. And, you know, that outside, you can practice it with people that you know, perhaps, if you have friends that, you know, so you could practice it with friends. And then, you know, then it gets to be more like stealth mindfulness, that you know, you over time, as you start to get familiar with it, I mean, you can start becoming aware of the feeling of judgments and fear and the sense of needing to be protected, or, you know, that we can just know that too. And that can be helpful to know that, because if we're not aware of it, it's going to affect how we engage. So, I mean, and being aware of it, we can have a little bit more choice. But you're right, this is a very structured experience, and yet, you know, structured experiences are building blocks. Kind of like the sitting meditation is a building block for practicing mindfulness. This kind of experience is a building block. And I do encourage you to find people to practice it with outside. I mean, even just this simple exercise. Another good one with friends is just to take turns speaking and really pause. Give yourself a pause before speaking so you've got the chance to really recognize, yep, I'm going to speak, and I'm going to try to be aware while I'm speaking. Yeah. So let's take a moment. There's only 2 minutes or 3 minutes left. Let's just take a moment and sit again and see how you are. This experience, the conversation, the talking, has an effect. This is conditions. Conditions affect us. And so there may be some energy in the body, maybe some emotions there. So just how you are. Sometimes I offer an analogy, especially after a kind of an energizing practice. The analogy of a snow globe. We pick up a snow globe and shake it, and all of the glitter swirls. And so it's kind of like the conditions of this evening may have created some energy, you know, generated some swirl of energy in your system. And right now, just explore the possibility of setting the snow globe down. Let the stillness of the body be like setting the snow globe on the shelf, and just connect perhaps with whatever energetic experience is here. And it's natural. Can it be allowed for the next couple of minutes? And see what happens as you explore, watching the energy, letting the glitter of the snow globe naturally settle. Thank you for your engagement this evening.